Welcome to Are You Real, episode 45 with Cardiff Hall.
Welcome to Are You Real, Finding the Authentic You, the podcast that focuses on Christians that are active in everyday life. Join in as we speak to everyone from successful business owners to educators to athletes about their faith and how it helps them reach out and revolutionize those around them to do the same. And now, get ready to roar with your host, the voice of manifestation, John Fuller.
Hey, Roar Nation, I am fired up to introduce today's guest, Cardiff Hall. Cardiff, you fired up, ready to roar, brother.
Oh, John B., I am fired up and ready to explode.
Come on, somebody. All right, dude. Cardiff Hall has a passion for life and helps individuals transform their self-being so they can reach and sustain achievement. Cardiff's book, which I'm holding in my hand, Ty Turner's, is the practical guide to help you feel in control, experience more joy, and sustain achievement in life, earned a number one new release on Amazon in January 2017. He coaches individuals who seek to achieve and deliver weekly inspiration and practical advice in his Tide Turner's newsletter. All right, Cardiff, man, I've loved getting to meet you. We've talked some about your past, but man, let's dive deeper into what you do, your passions, and why you love Jesus, brother.
Well, awesome. First off, John B., thank you for the opportunity to connect with you. We connected by osmosis. It was not osmosis. We know what that was. It was God. And here I'm sitting here in Minneapolis, beautiful sunny day here. You're down in Texas somewhere. And we were destined to meet. And I thank my wife for just saying, hey, listen to this podcast. I think he could be a great connection for you. And we've connected. So thank you for the opportunity. So Yeah, I am on my mission call from God. You know, when Noah had that call from God to say, build the ark. And I'm sure he had some, like, you want me to build an ark? Are you serious? I'm like, there's no rain coming. And I had this experience on a flight, John, that was very interesting. I fly a lot for my corporate job, and I got booted up, or this called promoted up to first class. And my goal was to just simply open my laptop up and just work. As we're taking off, my seat is in 2B by the window on the right side of the plane. We're taking off, and it's a cloudy day on the ground, and we soar through the clouds, and you know, the bell goes off, we can turn our laptops on, and it's just crystal clear. With you could see the cloud cover underneath. It was just a pristine day, and I remember it like it was yesterday. As I was working, John, I heard this voice say to me, write a book. And I stopped, and I just kind of shrugged it off, because I've never had that type of experience. So I'm like, whatever, let me go back to my working on my emails. I then heard the voice a little bit louder, write a book. And so I kind of leaned back into my chair, John, and I begin to have this discussion with this voice saying, I don't have enough time. I didn't go to school to be a writer. I don't know the first thing about writing a book. What if people don't like what I write? I am not your guy. And I began to have all of these arguments with this so-called voice within inside my head. And I just discounted it, and I went back to my email.
Okay, hold on, real quick. I promise. I won't cut you off too much, but okay. Is this for our listeners, though? Is this like your first experience of hearing God's voice in your life, or so it wasn't recognizable, or it was? Take me there.
Yeah, it's a great question. You know what? I think we have to be ready to hear God's voice. I've heard
that's good
things before, and I know we're going to dive deeper into some pain points, and I'll talk about that pain point. But I wasn't ready to hear the voice. Okay. And I think on our journey of faith, we need to get to that point so we can hear and understand his calling for our lives. And so we'll talk more about that. But I wasn't ready. Okay. I didn't. If I heard it, I just discounted it.
Yeah, and fair enough.
You know, but this time, John, for the third time, I leaned back, and then I had a 5x8.5 notepad. And I bent down, and I began to just scratch out titles. I began to write down titles of a book. And so I began to like, okay, maybe I can talk about this. And I just ideas were coming to me on this piece of paper. I get home and I tell my wife about this experience and I say, which title do you like? And she's like, are you serious? I'm like, yes, I was called to write this book. It's God's mission that I write the book. And she was like, nah, I don't know, but I trust you. The next morning, I woke up around 4:45 a.m., and that day, 3 years ago, I began to craft the manuscript for Tide Turners.
Wow. Okay. That's pretty awesome. So how long did it take you to write it?
So it took me about 3 years to write. And at that time, my company had downsized. And that's one of the excuses I use with God, was saying, don't you know, we just downsized people. I have more responsibility. I don't have time to write the book. So here's what I did. I started in 15-minute increments. All I could afford, John, in my schedule, which I thought, is I will just write in 15 minutes. Well, 15 minutes consistently over time has taken me 3 years to create and write the book, but it allowed me to finish the book. So I just started. I just started in 15-minute increments, and I would write off, you know, a paragraph and go to work. And I come home and I do another 15 minutes. And so consistently over time, as Darren Hardy talks about in his compound effect book, that if you're consistent over time, you will achieve if it's consistent. And there's a real true reason behind that.
Man, I totally agree with that. It's funny you say that. I think so many times I do at least make excuses with God, or, you know, we feel called to do something and we drag our feet. But, you know, the thing I was thinking about right now is the story of the tortoise and the hare. And, you know, the hare just takes off and he just ramps through life, per se, on this trail, and he gets caught up and gets sidetracked. But the tortoise keeps the pace and he just keeps doing what he's supposed to do. And yes, he finishes. And, yes, you know, and Paul says at the end of, I don't know if it was in Hebrews, but in the New Testament, Paul says, I finished the race.
Yes.
And that's really all that matters. So many times we get caught up and all the things in life, but if we will just do what we're called to do and finish the race, doesn't mean we have to finish it tomorrow or a week or in a year, just finish the race.
Absolutely.
So what is been an inspirational scripture or quote for you these last couple of years of, as you were writing your book?
So the book is really based on one main scripture, and it's Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the confidence that we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Hebrews 11:1 is in the book, and that's really the cornerstone. And as I was writing this manuscript, I gravitated to that verse, because here I was, not knowing how to physically write a book. How do I structure a book? What's a book proposal? How do I get the interior design of a book? Which distributors do I? I didn't have any knowledge of that, but I did listen to the voice, and I came to this verse, and it says, faith is the confidence that we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we couldn't see. And I couldn't see the future. I couldn't see, John, you and I talking today. I couldn't see that, but I just had this faith and this belief that I was called to do this, and I heard his voice, and that scripture resonated throughout the book, and still resonates in my life.
Okay. I want to ask you, what was your journey of going through? So obviously, Tide Turners isn't just like you read a book and you rewrote it. I mean, I just got done writing a book myself. There's It's your story. I'm assuming it has to be, because you dig deep, and it's your life coming on the pages. What has been your life story of you getting down the path that you're doing now?
So one of the very first thing was an awakening, I call it. It's called the wave of the unexpected event in one of the chapters of the book. And we all have those unexpected events that will either waken us up to life, or it depresses us and just holds us down in life. But that is a choice we all have. So it's a choice that that I made after an event happened to me. So back in, I want to say it was 2009 or 10, I was working for a large manufacturer. I just had won a sales trip to Hawaii. My team was just doing very well. Yet I had this relationship with my manager that was very difficult. It was a difficult relationship, and I just got through it. But I was performing at a very high success rate. So I remember the day, it was a Thursday evening, my wife comes in and says, you may want to take a look at the account, because the company I was working with just made a big deposit in my account. And so I began to think, like, why would they make a big deposit in my account? Something's going on. It must be wrong. Friday morning, I walk into the office and I see my manager who flew in from a different city. I see another person who flew in from a different city, and I was asked to come into the boardroom. As I walked into the boardroom, they asked me to sit down, and across from the table is where they were sitting. They slid a paper over and they said, you are no longer an employee of our company. You need to sign these papers and today's your last day.
Oh my gosh. And you had no idea this was coming, obviously.
No idea this was happening.
Ouch.
No idea this was happening. This was an unexpected event I did not plan for. And so I didn't really ask questions. I'm like, well, do I need to call my lawyer? And there was nothing I did wrong. There's nothing. And so they made me sign the document. They physically watched me as I packed up my office. And within 30 minutes, I was at home. And that was an awakening for me. I was searching for something. I had been walking in my faith with Christ, but he really wasn't on the top of the priority list.
Dude, hold on, time out. I'm just thinking. Okay. I'm just trying to picture myself. I've actually been there. I lost a million-dollar company overnight one time, and when I mean overnight, I mean like the next day. Same scenario. I found out I'd built this big company and then literally just lost it. So, mm-hmm. I get it, but. I mean, surely you had questions. Did you not get those questions? At least I knew what had happened. I mean, did you finally figure out what happened or why or anything?
Yeah, they said that there was consolidation happening in the industry, and they were consolidating different offices, and I was no longer the person. They went with another person to run the team, the new team. And so that's what they told me. And that's true. That's what happened. And then, I kind of knew after the fact, this other guy got that position. But to go into work one day and expect to win awards, you expect you're fine in your company, right?
Oh,
you
yeah.
expect, you're just everything is fine. And then all of a sudden it's like the wool, the rug is pulled out underneath your feet. And yes, you have, this bonus they gave you, but they pulled something away from me, because I put so much in this company. They just took it. They took something away. And The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren was getting rave reviews. And before I actually left and they kind of took me out of the building, I just kind of went out down by myself. And I was wandering around the streets of Minneapolis, not for long, but just kind of taking a walk, trying to compose myself. And I remember tears were coming down my face. And I passed Barnes & Noble. And in the window, I saw the book, Purpose-Driven Life. And I think it was that point God was saying, you need to pick this up. I'm sending you an awakening. And I did. I didn't get it that day, but I picked up Purpose-Driven Life. And that was the start of this journey that I'm on, John.
Okay. So let's do this. I want to go back to your book. So mm-hmm. I'm thinking the analogies you're talking about waves. So I think of this like you just got pummeled. I love to body surf. And mm-hmm. I'm thinking right now, dude, you're on the ocean. You just got hammered with a wave.
Yes.
Now you had a choice to get back up and just kind of brush yourself off and catch another wave and say that one sucked.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could have sat there and got out of the water and just pouted about it. So what was your mindset at that point? Because some people I have friends, I've done it myself. You kind of just get in this lull, man, where you're just like, life sucks. God doesn't love me. Why is everything bad? It's easy to go down that path. What did you do?
So that was on a Friday, John, and I absolutely agree. We have two choices. The next, my church had a support group for, it's called Job Transition. So that was on a Monday. And so I didn't waste any time. On Monday, I was at that support group. So I got let go on Friday.
You took action.
I took action. Immediate action. I didn't fall into a blame game. I didn't, you know, they made the wrong choice. I'll get them. I didn't have that mentality. All I had was, okay, I'm not sure how this is going to work because I had a sales car that was taken away. My wife and I only had one car. I'm like, okay, here's what we're going to do. I need your car for the day. I'll drop you off at work. I'll pick you up. You know, so we had to develop a whole new routine. Given the fact that I didn't have my job, and I took immediate action and joined a group and got around a group of people who loved on me, who cared for me, who were going to help, you know, redo my resume, help with interviewing skills, all of that, I took immediate action.
Okay. I like that. I think that's what a lot of people need to do, especially with any incidents in their life, is get support, go to your church, find people that are going to support you and push you in the direction you're called to go.
Absolutely.
Okay. So back to your book. So in this process, have you written your book yet, or are you still doing your 15-minute segments?
So at that point, when that all happened, no, the book idea wasn't even in my mind at all.
Okay.
So when that happened, I just, you know, wanted to get back into the working environment, just kind of wanted to kind of understand what is life calling me to do. I didn't know, but I started with Purpose-Driven Life, and that began the forward movement of me getting closer to God, getting closer and trying to understand, okay, I'm not sure why this is happening to me, but I will take the steps of faith and I will grow deeper in my walk.
Man, I love your outlook on life and the way you're looking at things. So what was the moment? Did you have this moment where you're like, hey, man, this is what I'm created to do. This is me. I've kind of found my wheelhouse and we're going this direction.
Yeah. So over the course of time, I had stumbled upon network marketing, which I don't do today, but I love the training of the mind and the self-development that occurs. So I've been transformed into a newer me. My faith has gotten stronger, but I began to dig deep into personal development. Anything. I've just been finding mentors and people to be around, attending a number of trainings and webinars and live trainings. And so over the course of 3 years, I had changed my entire mindset. And I began to just really love personal development. And when someone would ask me that I would say 5 years ago, John, personal development, I would say, is my company paying me on the weekend to attend a class? Because I'm not going to. Because if the company isn't paying me, I'm not going there. And so I had this feeling that, well, no, I get training on the job. I don't need training, you know, personally. So that's the old mindset. The new mindset is, okay, let's soak up as much as we can. And I believe, you know, over the course of this 3-year kind of journey from that in 4 years, it has brought me to a place that I was ready to listen to the word of God and say, okay, I can write a book because I've had so much influence in my mind.
Yeah, absolutely. I was when you're talking about that changing your mindset, I remember being and I remember in the back of your book, you recommend some books. Mm-hmm. And I needed it's for me, too. It's just been a course of many years of changing my mindset and the way we look at life and people. And but one of those started with is one of my all time favorite authors is Og Mandino.
Yeah.
And dude, the guy just. Oh my God. I've read every one of his books and I just started rereading another one. I don't know if it's The Greatest Salesman Part 2 or the,
right.
Oh, no. I'm reading Return of the Rag Picker right now.
Okay.
And, one of my favorite, but you recommend his books too. But I mean,
yeah.
That was the start of me kind of discovering like, hey man, I need to change my mind. I was really grounded in the word, read my Bible every day. I knew that, but it was just like something else to read it from another parable. Another story to change my mindset.
Yeah, that book, Greatest Salesman in the World, I've read that three times. And every time I read, I get more out of it. It's just a phenomenal book to read. And it shapes your mindset. And but you're absolutely right. As I look back on the things that have happened to me, John, now I see what was in plan, what the plan was. But you see, we're in that wave and we don't see the what's happening, you know, in the future. But we have to trust, and we just have to take those steps. And that's why I was so connected to Hebrews 11:1 about that whole faith, because we can't see what we don't see, but we still have to move forward, and we just have to have that ability to trust.
Yeah. You know, when as soon as you said that, I was thinking about Joshua when the Lord told him, he's like, be strong and courageous. So I got a plan and a purpose for you. I'm calling you to go forward. But the only thing he tells him is be strong and courageous. I'm with you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so many times for our listeners and for ourselves, everybody, we just got to know God is for us. He's not against us. We just need to keep pressing forward because he's got good things for us.
Absolutely.
So, okay. I don't know if that was like your worst moment. It was obviously a pretty bad moment as you losing your job. Yeah. That's devastating. But is there another moment that just comes to your mind for you that was just like a hard hit kind of a moment that you don't always share with people that you'd be willing to share with our guests that was really down for you that God just brought you through and you came out on the upside?
Yeah. You know, I no one knows this story. So you're good, John, you're pulling stuff out of me. But, my wife and I, we were trying to have kids. And my wife was pregnant, and my wife went through cancer. So she's a cancer survivor today, 20 plus years.
Amen.
And so, which is amazing. So we knew there could be some complications with any type of pregnancy. And I remember she wasn't feeling well, and she called me up at work, and she's like, hey, I need to see the doctor. Can we go? And I'm like, sure, you know, I'll be there. So we went, and it probably was it 3 months? It was probably about around the 3 month mark we lost the baby, and that was a difficult time for both of us because we wanted to have children, and we knew the doctor is like we don't think it's very possible just because of the cancer and things that were happening inside my body's in my wife's body. And that was a low time for us. That was a very low time for us together as a couple. And we were looking at different ways to, you know, think about, you know, maybe it's just, you know, you and I and you know, we'll just live life as a couple. But God had bigger plans for us. We found an adoption group at our church, and we had not considered adoption. And so we got to learn about the adoption way and what happens with adoption. And so we went through the adoption process, which took about, I want to say from start to finish, John, is about 3 years. And the poking and prodding that the agencies do and just really getting into all of the dynamics of a household and who can adopt and who can't. It was intense. It was intense. But I tell you what, we now have a 7-year-old daughter who is just the light of our lives. She's just an amazing little girl. And I'm so happy. And I used to truly use that word happy that we went through an experience like we did. To allow us to get to enjoy and to be connected with our daughter from birth.
Yeah, man, that is awesome. So I want to ask you this, Cardiff. The word talks about that we are adopted or we are grafted into the body of Christ, right?
Right.
I'm just curious, when you said that, what was your view or how did your mind change or shift to your view of God? I'm just curious because I know the way I viewed God before I had kids is so different now because having children and the love and the passion that I have for them and my concern for them, that when the Holy Spirit speaks to me, I'm able to see like the Father's love towards me.
Yeah.
How did that change for you with your walk with the Lord?
Yeah, it really deepened it because, you know, it was just my wife and I. And, you know, life was good. Life was good. You know, we went through that difficult experience, and then we went through, you know, difficulties through the adoption process. But even so, you know, as I think about that time frame of our lives, you know, we trusted God, but we were like, well, you know, if it's okay, if it doesn't happen from an adoption standpoint, you know, we weren't that, we were okay if it didn't go through, and we were okay if it did go through. But now it's, I mean, it's 100, I mean, it's full bore. I mean, I just imagine that, just that unexpected love from a child that you can give, and we're giving that to our daughter, and my daughter, and we're exposing our daughter to so many different things. And we're just so grateful, I would say, and blessed by having the Lord lead us to this little girl.
I'm just really curious from talking to you a couple of times we've talked, and earlier before the show, you seem like your attitude is just really positive. Yeah. Like you really have a good outlook on life. Have you always been that way? Or, I mean, have you learned that? I mean, what is that? Is that natural for you?
Well, it is. And I think I've always been this way. I've always been this way. I'm the middle of a younger brother and an older, so I'm the middle child. And I've always had this positive outlook on life. I've got great parents who have, you know, supported me. And some of that has come through my parents and my my uncle, who I work with in the yard with, and we would share stories with me. But I've always had that, and that's a spiritual gift that I have.
It is.
My positivity is bar none. People are like, well, how is Cardiff so dang positive? You know, how is he doing that? Is he on something? I'm like, no, man, I got life in me, man. I got the joy, I got the spirit in me. And people are like, well, I want some of that. and that's really one of the reasons that I wanted to write the book, because I've heard people tell me, like, Cardiff, I physically, you're like sitting to me next to on my couch when I'm reading this book. And so my positivity, my joy on life comes through in the words and comes through the message of Ty Turner's.
I love it. I love that you talk about, let's talk about strength. I definitely agree with you, a spiritual gift of faith.
Yeah.
You walk in that. What do you feel like besides that, or you can say it's that, but what do you feel like your biggest strength and gift is?
My biggest strength and gift is belief. And on the Gallup poll, it talks about your various strengths, and which is kind of odd, but my belief is like the number one thing for me. Belief. I have it. It's deep. It's ingrained inside me. And there isn't anything I can do. And I don't say that egotistically. I say that the only limitations that I'm putting on myself, John, is me. If I believe I can't do something, then my subconscious mind has to prove me right. And I tell people that, and I'm like, well, I don't understand that. I'm like, well, that's because I've gone through deep learnings and deep trainings of the mind to conceive something into existence. And this book was not my idea, because if you asked me, you know, 5 years ago, am I going to write a book? And I would say, are you kidding me? No, I don't have any intention to write a book. I have no intention to be on the stage and talk, John. I don't have any of that. Now, and I find myself in that position today, and that is just not not me, but it's the belief that I took when I heard that voice. And I said, I have to get started some way or another. And as I get started, the doors begin to open. And that's what's really not shocking to me, but that's what's encouraging to me. As I step forward, things happen. And I'm like, wow, that was not a coincidence. That was really the hand of God.
Man, I'm really glad you brought that up, because I think a lot of times people, we see the big picture. I'm a big picture person. Mm-hmm. And it's hard sometimes to get started for people, but I love what you said. Doors started opening. So you didn't know what that looked like, but you just started going in that direction. And then things just started opening up. And what made me think about that is kind of the same deal with this podcast. You know, gosh, I guess it's been 8 or 9 months, but I just started it. Had no idea what it kind of looked like. I had a perception, but I just did it. And it's amazing, once you'll step out and just do something and get out of that spirit of fear, Like, I've met people like you. I get to meet people all over the world and get to do these great interviews with people and spread the good news of the gospel and what God's doing in people's lives. Had I never stepped into that, you and I wouldn't be talking today.
No. Exactly. And if I wouldn't have listened to that voice, like to write a book, like the number one thing I told myself is I don't have enough time. And when I hear and I coach people, they're like, well, Carter, I don't have enough time. And there is time in the day, but it's how you use to allocate that time. Because that's one resource, John, that every single person has. Not your finance. In finances, everybody's going to have different finances. But the one resource that we all have is the same thing. It's time. And how we choose to use that. And I didn't allow my unknowingness to write a book stop me. I did not know how to physically write this book. But I started, and then it's like the dominoes. Just one thing, I met an editor. From this editor, I met an author coach. And things began to happen, but it just takes that belief and that faith that says, I can do this. I believe in my ability to figure things out.
That's good. That's really good. Okay. What do you think your biggest weakness is with inside your gifting? Sometimes I would say you can overextend your gift and it can become a weakness. Do you feel like you have that? Has that happened or is it something else?
Yeah. So for me, you know, the weakness that I have is I'm a control guy.
You want to have control, huh?
I want to have control. And you know, we say, okay, put control in God's hands, right? I'm like, okay, I could do that. But I want that sense of control, especially as I have a team now that is surrounded me and I'm building this brand out and my message out. I have a group of people now. And the pace that I go isn't the pace that others go. And that's fine. We can all have different pace, but our objective must be the same. And that's where I need to get better at is to, okay, understanding their timelines, you know, where can they fit this in? How can this, you know, work together? And so I that's one thing I'm working on, John. I like control. And I have to learn to give control. I'll learn how to delegate things, because once we delegate, then we can truly focus on our true strengths. And there's sometimes I would try to learn, you know, website stuff, and it's not in my strength, and it takes me, you know, weeks. Yet, you know, I could write, you know, a newsletter, or I could write a short story, because that's my strength. And so we need to get to a place where we need to delegate, we need to lose that control, trust in the process, so the entire thing can move forward at a faster pace.
Hard to do sometimes, man. Definitely it's a process learned.
Yes.
So, okay. So, Carve, what's the biggest thing that God's stirring inside of you right now?
So the biggest thing is to continue this platform of Tide Turners.
Okay.
And my daughter, who's 7 years old today, you know, I never envisioned writing a children's book, but we're going to write a children's book starting later this year.
That's
and it's
cool.
going to be, it's going to be on the theme of Tide Turners. There's going to be a character, a superhero that, you know, is kid focused. And so I'm going to be going into a genre, right? I'm a nonfiction writer. I'm going into a genre, again, I don't know anything about. I am not a children's author, but I'm going to work with my little daughter, and we're going to do a book together. And we're going to continue this process of this Tide Turner concept. And then I have a nonfiction book that I haven't, that the idea that's planted in my mind, and it wasn't my idea. So I have my next nonfiction book. So it's really to spread this message of hope, spread this message of faith, spread this message of being a Tide Turner. What does that look like? How do I become a Tide Turner? And I was very practical about putting Christianity and some things towards the end of the book. And I'm not sure if you've gotten it too, but John, at the end of the book, if you have a digital format of that book, I have You Must Be Brave. You Must Be Brave. It's that video by the Bethel Music.
Yes.
And it talks about going through the storms. And so my hope is to continue to bring people that – may not know about Christ or know about God or think he's just this superhero or whatever, this made up, thing in the air, is to get them to see the possibilities, is to open their mind. And I'm hoping my book can open someone's mind.
I like that you said that. That kind of goes into my next question. So we're all called to share the gospel. And a lot of times people think we need to be a pastor or, a preacher, something like that. But you are an author that's a Christian. And there's a difference between being a Christian author and an author who is a Christian. Those are different. Mm-hmm. And I love that because you're an author who happens to have the faith of Christ. So obviously that's not your focus. You're helping people. But how do you share faith in the gospel every day without basically, you're not standing on a street corner. You're not openly saying, hey, I'm a believer. You need to believe this and that. How are you living that out in your everyday life?
Well, I think it starts with what I put on social media. And people always watch you, whether they're going to like your stuff, but people know who Cardiff Hall is today. And they know the message that I bring and who I am. So I make sure that I am true to my word who wrote the book. That's absolutely critical to me. I am raw. I am honest. I am open in the book. But how I live my life day to day, like, oh my gosh, this guy is amazing. That's what I've heard people tell me. I'm like, how are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. Yeah, thank you. But I'm just doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I that's every single day for me. Are there days that, I'm not my best? Absolutely. There's only one perfect person in this world, and it's not you or I, John, and I do my best. I'm in the Word every single morning. I'm putting good things to my mind every single morning, but it's really living the calling of what we're commanded to do. That's how I share, the gospel or the news of my faith.
I love it. Cardiff, tell me about your book. Like if I'm just hearing you for the first time, I don't know much about you. Obviously we're 30, 40 minutes into this podcast, but tell me more about your book. Like as a listener, should I come get your book?
Well, you should come get my book because of control. And if you are in a place where you have this phrase in your head, is this what life is supposed to be like? I share a story about a hamster wheel and this little guy in the hamster, and he just keeps going around this, around, right? And so many times we get into that rut is we get up, we go to work, we come home, we go to bed. And it's the same thing day after day. And life could be good, but life isn't good like you would like it to be great. And so this book is basically my personal story, how I was drifting in life, and life was good. I mean, John, life for my wife and I and my daughter, life was good. Life was comfortable. But I had this thing inside me that says, this is not what life is supposed to be like. This daily grind, John, it's a grind. Right. And if you feel like life is a grind and like you're meant to do something more, but you just don't know what that is, this is a book that will allow you to really take control. And I've always had this feeling earlier on in my career, John, that my life was a result of the things that would happen to me. Right. And, if I got, fired from my job and, this was happening to me, I took a job over here, and I felt other people were responsible for my life until I realized that that's not true. We are all responsible for our lives, and we need to get into our own captain seat, our own boat called YOU. And we're supposed to make sure the sails are right, and make sure everything on that boat is going to go to where we want to end up. Because at the end of our lives, we will either have done the things we wanted to do, or we'll sit back and we have a ton of regret. I don't want regrets, and I don't want your listeners to have regrets, because there's a book called The Regrets of the Dying. There's a physical book that all these older people write about, I should have done this, I could have done that. The should-haves, the could-haves, I would-haves, those don't exist in my language.
Yeah, that's good.
They don't exist, John. And so this book is really about the pathway to physically take control of life and begin to push away from the dock and get to where you want to go versus the world or versus your boss or whoever it is.
I dig it, man. Okay, so where do we find your book? And tell my listeners some of your resources, your book, coaching, yeah, things that you do. How do we find you?
Yeah, so first off, you can head over to tyturnersbook.com. So tyturners with an S, book.com. You'll get a lot of information. You'll get to see the book trailer, what the book is about. And then obviously Amazon, just search under Ty Turners. But to get the guidebook, because it's so important, John, that we can all invest time into a book or our Kindle or whatever it is, if it's a hardcover, softcover. But then we don't take the steps to implement what the book is calling us to do. And so what I've done is I created a guidebook to help people really dive deep into each separate chapter. And so at the end, they will have a plotted out course and they'll have the guidance to have that leap of faith and to move forward in that direction they want to go. To get that, head over to CardiffDHall.com, CardiffDHall.com.
Awesome, man. And we'll post some more of that stuff on our website as well. But Cardiff, I want to ask you a big question, buddy.
Yeah.
So you remember the movie Big? Did you watch Big with Tom Hanks years
ago?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, so you get to go back and talk to the younger you, and you're not going to get to change anything what's going to happen in your future. So we can't change nothing, but you can give yourself some solid advice from the lessons that you've learned.
Yeah.
What age would you go back to and what advice would you give yourself?
I go back to, I'm going to say high school. Because I think high school, you begin to craft out, okay, where am I going to go next? Right? What college, or am I going to go to trade school? I would go back to high school, maybe 10th grade. And the number one thing I do, John, the number one thing that I didn't do, I was not a reader of books. I didn't read books. I mean, I did my schoolwork and I was doing school, you know, reading just to get whatever the teacher said I had to do. But I would invest in time outside of the classroom and I would infuse my mind with self-development, with mindset, with how to achieve success. That's what I would do at that time, at the 10th grade level, is putting better things into my mind than just whatever I was reading back then, magazines or I don't whatever. But that would be the number one tip I would do if I was at that age today.
That's cool. That's funny you said that. I don't remember ever reading a book through high school that I can remember, and or college. And then I had a mentor that came into my life at about age 20, 21 and started handing me books and said, hey, you need to start reading these books. And I remember at one point from somewhere between 2021 to about age 25, I was reading on average about a book a week or a book every 2 weeks. And I mean, just filling my mind with, if I could remember everything that I read, I would be the smartest man alive, I'm telling you. But unfortunately, we probably only retain about 5% if what we read. So.
Right.
Anyways.
But you're infusing great things in mind. I was just talking to a group of high school kids. I did a talk with them. 33% of all people who graduate high school will never read another book.
Wow.
33%. 42% of all people who go to college will never read another book. 42%. And so you think about those stats, and those are real stats that are out there. But we get to adulthood and we don't want to think about reading a book.
Right.
Because we get into this doldrum of life and we don't even, you know, we don't listen to podcasts, or we don't want to do anything to help us mentally, because we just want to veg out, because that's what society tells us to do. It's like, you deserve a break today. You deserve it. You don't need to do that. But if you have this desire, if you have this yearning for, you know what, I need to make some real changes in my life, I'm going to need to figure things out, You will do everything in your power to figure things out and invest and do whatever you need to do.
Absolutely. Man, I couldn't agree more. All right, Cardiff, before we depart, man, what is one piece of parting advice that you would like to give our listeners?
One piece of parting advice would be that no matter how you feel about where you are in your circumstances today, know that you can create the future. Regardless of whatever happened in your past, you can create the future by stepping into your own boat and saying, today, I take command of this boat. But remember, there is something much bigger than you that needs to be right there at the wheel with you, and that's the Spirit of God. And just know that that Spirit in you together, you can go some amazing places, but it takes a choice. It takes the choice to know and decide, okay, I'm going to trust. I may not know how, but I'm going to take the steps forward, and you will be better than you think you are today.
Man, love the advice, Cardiff, so much, man. Cardiff, just hold on a second before, okay, as we wrap things up. Listeners, Roar Nation, thank you so much for taking the time. I really do. It means a lot to me that you would take time to listen to our shows. I found out last night we had about 52,000 downloads last month. And on top of that, we were 127 nations. Man, I never would have thought that going into this, but it's such a blessing. So I want to thank you. If you would please share this interview with a friend, text it to him. You can share it on the podcast. Listen to Cardiff's message and what he's doing. Share our resource page. Get on rureal.org and please rate and review us and share the love. So Roar Nation, thank you so much. We love you. And remember, at the end of the day, be real, be authentic, and be you. God bless.
That's all for this episode of Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You. Be sure to go to rureal.org for your free questionnaire to identify your gifts and talents and how you can use them to help people become leaders and catapult them into their destiny to help others become the leaders of tomorrow. We appreciate you spending your time with us and look forward to helping you reach out and revolutionize next time on Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You.